Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know it works in giving you a boner. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Aside from me reading this, it's made in the US of A, America. And since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. You can visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, B-L-U-E, Chew.com, promo code ARMCHAIR, A-R-M-C-H-A-I-R, to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we'd like to thank them for sponsoring this train wreck of a podcast.
Andrew, today we are going to try something new for this bonus edition. We are going to talk about random NFL things and things we want the Saints to do in the offseason. And I want the Saints to do it right now. I want them today, on September 25th, I want them to draft Joe Burrow. I want them to do it right now. I'm getting ahead of the curve. They need to draft Joe Burrow. It will be freaking amazing. We're going to talk about that all draft season, aren't we? That the Saints need to draft Joe Burrow.
Well, it's funny. The impetus for this was the Larry Holder article where he was beating that drum this morning.
He was beating the drum, baby, leading the charge for the Athletic.
Yeah. And, you know, it, on some level it makes sense because Joe Brady's been over there. He's installed the Sean Payton offense, and we've seen the success that Burrow has been able to have within the prism of that scheme. And, you know, it's been pretty impressive. Obviously, Joe Burrow has vaulted himself from maybe a guy that would get drafted in the sixth or seventh round like Danny Etling. You know, that was probably – maybe he was a little bit ahead of that last year, so maybe he was like a fifth-round type talent. And now you look at him as a Heisman hopeful, and he's probably a top 15 pick. Now, there's a lot of quarterbacks in this
draft. I haven't seen that. I saw him top – I saw him in a mock in the second round. But, again, it's not even October, so top 15 pick is – that's LSU is going to have a quarterback. It's going to go top 20. That's insane.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll have to see how the season plays out, obviously. If he gets injured or he falls off, then I think he drops down. But, man, I'm telling you, if Burrow gets to a point where he's in the top four, if he goes to New York, you know, for the Heisman finalist, and he plays a big game against Alabama and he continues to just light his statistical year on fire, I mean, if he continues to do that, all those things, I just think he'll be there at the end in the Heisman conversation. I don't think he'll win, but I think he'll be in the mix. And I just think if he's playing in meaningful games and playing well in them, then NFL teams will take notice. And he won't be the first quarterback taken. He won't be the second quarterback taken, but he'll be one of the first five. And I just think when you're the Saints and you're evaluating, like, who's the best fit for us and who do we actually have the ability to go get, Burrow starts to make a little more sense for two reasons. And the first one for me is just the system fit. You know, I think he's already acclimated to the offense, so I think it would be easier for him to step into the Saints right away and be comfortable within the offense because it's a lot of what he's already doing. And then the second thing is if he's going to be 15th overall or 20th overall, depending on where the Saints pick, depending on how the season goes, he may fall to them, Or they could easily package a first next year with the pick they have this offseason and move up to get him, because he's not going to be a top five pick. He's not going to be third, yeah, fourth overall, where the Saints can't get that high. But they definitely could get to 14 overall, 17 overall, you know, by packaging stuff to move up. So I don't know. That starts to make a lot more sense for me now. I'm sure some people are like, no, we're not trading next year's first round pick to go get Joe Burrow.
This is what they do, man. Last year, I literally stepped away from my TV for like 5 minutes in the second round, and the Saints did the trade, and you people were texting me, and I thought you were making jokes as I was walking back into my house. And it wasn't a joke. The Saints had made the move. Like, this is what the Saints don't give a shit about your analytics and your, we need more picks, and you don't trade picks, you don't move up, it's bad business. The Saints don't believe in it. The Saints believe they're smarter than you and their draft board is right. And, like, the last 3 years, like, it has been. Like, they drafted Eric McCoy. They were right, you know? So that's what they do. The one thing I will say about Burrow is I worry about LSU. They're getting injured, and they're losing receivers and people on offense. I wonder if they can keep this ridiculousness up as the injuries start to mount. But he's good, man.
Their schedule is a lot easier, though, than we thought it was going to be. I mean, they're not going to beat Alabama, probably not, you know, and that's too bad, because that's how it rolls every year, it feels like. But beyond that, I think they'll be able to win pretty much every game. I mean, there's probably two games on their schedule beyond that that I think are even losable for LSU. You know, I just don't think Ole Miss, Arkansas, like, just the teams like that that sometimes give them trouble, they're just not very good. And yeah. I just think LSU, healthy or not, is going to be able to roll through most of the schedule. I look at the rest of the schedule. I mean, Texas obviously was a big one to get, but I just think there's three games left on the schedule that are even questionable that they would win or not.
Yeah. And also, too, the thing with Burrow is his completion percentage is obviously better because of the LSU scheme. It's hurry up, it's shorter throws and that sort of thing. But a lot of those throws he makes, he wasn't making those last year. Like, he does back shoulder throws deep down the field that are accurate. And I know LSU, they've always got a good group of receivers, and they do again. But he's just way better. I don't know. He worked on it this offseason. Like, if the Saints took – I'd be a little bit hesitant if they gave up a 2021 first-round pick to move up to get Burrow. But if he fell to, like, 15 or 20, and they had to go from, like, 32 to 20 to get him, and they had to give up another second-round pick in 2021 or whatever – like, that's no problem to me, because if you like your quarterback, if you like a quarterback, go and get it. Look what happened to the Giants, Andrew. We all made fun of them. We're like, Daniel Jones, ha, ha, ha. They picked him at 6. How could they do that? That was so stupid. He looked amazing Sunday. And if they have a...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Quarterback, it doesn't matter where you write about them, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, get them in the building. I think the comment, and this is in Larry Holder's article too, there was a comment about acquiring Teddy Bridgewater, and the comment was from Sean Payton, which basically said, like, if you see a luxury item, like, on the shelf at the grocery store, and it's available to you, you just can't allow it to sit there. You have to get it in the building. You have to go get it. And so that was Sean Payton's kind of view. It's like, hey, if you truly believe in a guy, you see him and you're like, hey, this is a guy that's going to be great. This is a guy that I love. And he felt that way about Bridgewater, and I know a lot of fans think he's wrong about that and have concluded that already. But, you know, I think as a coach, especially when you're Sean Payton and you've won a Super Bowl and you've been really successful and you're an offensive genius, you got to trust your instincts and you got to go with that. And if you firmly believe, hey, this is my guy, then you got to go get him.
Yeah. And also, too, if the Saints say they would draft Joe Burrow and – maybe, you know, maybe it's because they win the Super Bowl and Drew Brees retires, and then
yeah, you're cutting
like
out,
a
Ralph.
Transitional
you're
quarterback.
You're cutting out, Ralph, but, you know, one thing I would say is just that, man, can you imagine just going from watching Joe Burrow succeed at LSU for 2 years, especially this year, and then transition to being the Saints quarterback and then having a long, illustrious, and successful career with the Saints. I mean, that would just be so fun and amazing. I'm here for it.
It would be. I mean, listen, Louisiana, I know he wasn't nearly as good as Brees, or I argue he's not even as good as Aaron Brooks, but people went gaga when the Saints had Bobby Hebert at quarterback. That was a different time, though. I mean, the Saints were weird in that the Saints had Bobby Hebert at quarterback, Dalton Hilliard at running back, and Eric Martin at receiver. So it was literally, like, all their skill positions were Louisiana guys. So it was a different time, right? But if they get Burrow for a decade, that's just amazing. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it in off season. But the one thing that I will say, Andrew, is around the league, as we look at teams, I got to say, we're on Dan Quinn's fire watch now. He's 2 weeks away from getting fired before Atlanta. If they lose this week at home to Tennessee and they go to the Texans and lose, they're 1-4. He's getting fired, right? There's no doubt.
Well, I think the Colts game in particular was a huge punch to the gut for the Falcons, because the whole thing with Quinn is when they fired their defensive coordinator and basically said, all right, Dan Quinn, you're the defensive coordinator now. You're the defensive coach, like, and your job is to fix this defense. And if you watch that Colts game, the Falcons were down 10, but then they scored a touchdown, and it seemed like they were maybe poised to make a comeback. And then Indianapolis would drive down the field and score. And then Atlanta would march back down and answer again, and they were back down 3, and there were 4 minutes left, and Indianapolis drove down the field and burned the entire clock. And so defensively, the Falcons just look like a mess, and they're playing terrible. And so Quinn, at this point, like, it was put on him. And so if – especially you said that he might be fired in 2 games. I think if these next 2 games they lose and it's because of the defense again, where, you know, because their offense is good and they can put up points, and they've got Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, et cetera. But if they – are losing despite that offense because of their defense, then yeah, Quinn is done. And I agree with you. If they lose their next 2 games like they did against the Colts, he's gone.
Yeah, and look, you look around the league, Philadelphia is 1-2. They're beat up. again. They're having another year where they're having a ton of injuries, but they look not so great. Carson Wentz is You know, we'll see about Dallas Sunday. You know, we'll get a fun look at them. They're 3-0. Green Bay is 3-0. Their defense is really good. The Rams are 3-0. I mean, they looked good against Saints, but Jared Goff kind of struggling. I mean, I look around the NFC, and I think, unfortunately, the NFC is way deeper and better than the AFC. Like, the AFC, you can hit the fast-forward button. It's Kansas City and it's New England, and they're going to fight it out in the playoffs, and that's how the AFC is going to go. No one's even close to them, I don't think. But in the NFC, it's a jumbled mess, Andrew, and I think that's good in a sense that I think there's a real chance that 11-5, if it's the right 11, can get you a bye. And for the Saints, I don't necessarily know if it's possible, but the thing is, if you were like, you've got to get to 12 or 13 wins to get a bye, I don't think that's possible for the 2019 Saints. But with the NFC being so balanced, I think 11-5 might get them a bye, and that is a good thing early in the year.
Yeah, the Saints aren't getting a bye. I would go ahead and crumple up that piece of paper and throw it in the trash can. You talk about the right 11. Here's the thing. They've already lost to the Rams, and a loss to the Cowboys would further sink the hopes of it being the right 11. You know, so basically, if the Saints go 11-5, but they've lost to the Rams and they've lost to the Cowboys, they've won the wrong 11. So they'd be losing that tiebreaker. But yeah, I think now, given what's happened with Breeze, and we're trying to get through this phase with Bridgewater and hoping that he does the best that he can and helps the team win. It's got to be all about winning the division, period, end of story. Nothing else matters. Don't worry about the bye. You just get in the playoffs and hope for the best, but just win the division, you know, and you get at least one home game that way. And that's something that I think, considering how bad the NFC South is right now, we don't know if Atlanta bounces back. We don't know how Kyle Allen's going to do with Carolina. Maybe he revitalizes them. Bruce Arians with Tampa is still a work in progress, but right now, the NFC South looks very weak, and so I think there's an opportunity to win this division, even with Bridgewater playing 6 weeks. So I think the hope here is just that the Saints can continue to have some success with Bridgewater, to kind of hold things afloat until Breeze is back, and you win the division, get in the playoffs, hopefully, and then take it from there. But, yeah, I think the bye at this point has to be a ship that has sailed for us.
Well, listen, look, Atlanta, I know what Atlanta is. I watched it for three straight years with the Saints in 2014, 15, and 16, right? They're 7-9. Like, that's what they're going to be. Like, whether they get it together with Quinn and they end up being win one, lose one, or they fire Quinn because they're 1-4 and then they're 2-6, they're going to win a bunch of games because their offense is good. And they did it last year. They started 1-4. They climbed out the hole. They got to 4-4. They went to Cleveland and lost. And I predicted it. I was laughing at Atlanta people. I predicted it like 3 weeks ahead. I was like, this is what's going to happen. You're 1-4. You're going to win a bunch of games, get to 4-4. You're going to go to Cleveland. Cleveland's terrible. And you're going to be like, we're going to beat Cleveland and get over 500. Then we're really going to be in this thing. And Cleveland's going to house you because you are a bad team with a bad defense. I've seen it. And they laughed at me, no, we're different than you. We're different than the 2014 Saints. I'm like, I'm an expert on watching a 7-9 football
team. Yeah, I was going to say, this prediction you made felt so Saintsy.
It was, but like, they're the same. It's like the Spider-Man meme when you're looking at each other, man. It was like, that's what it was. And I was right, but it's, you know, and I'm not right a lot, but that was easy. But my question to you before we get out of
is Atlanta becoming the team where, and this is what the 7-9 Saints used to feel like, where the margin for error for the offense was zero, and any punt felt like a turnover, and any field goal felt like a punt. Is that where the Falcons are right now?
Yes. The Falcons are in that, and Matt Ryan is in that space where Drew Brees was, where I can go on Atlanta Twitter and I can see that. Now, you know, we used to argue about the Saints. I used to argue with people that have podcasts and stuff, and I like them. They would be like, Drew Brees has to be perfect. He wasn't. they kicked too many field goals, or he did this one bad play. And that's what Atlanta fans were like. Matt Ryan had that red zone interception. He can't have that. That killed us because our defense isn't good enough. And that's where he is. Like, he was fantastic against the Colts, but he wasn't perfect. And that's where Atlanta is. Like, they have to be – Matt Ryan has to be just perfect or they're not winning. My last question before we get out of here, Andrew, is what have you seen in the first 3 weeks around the NFL or the NFC South that has surprised you that's not Saints-related?
I wouldn't say too much, honestly. I think things have gone kind of according to script. I think the Vikings, the Bears, and the Packers are somewhat competitive. They don't look like world beaters, but they all look decent. The Cowboys are there. You know, it's kind of the top team in their division. The Rams are there as kind of the top team in their division. So that's a little surprising. I guess if there's anything, I would say it's the 49ers kind of getting off to a fast start. That's maybe surprised me a little bit that they have a winning record. I thought Garoppolo would maybe be a little bit worse based on his preseason, but he seems to have rebounded from his injury and everything. So I guess San Francisco is probably the big surprise to me, but otherwise everything is, I mean, honestly, the biggest surprise so far, it is Saints related, but it's the Saints going into Seattle and winning with Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah. I mean, if you ask me to say what's the biggest surprise through 3 weeks in the NFC, I would say that's it. But you know, other than that, I think things have gone, like, remarkably according to script.
Yeah. So, guys, this has been our bonus cast. We do these every so often, try to do at least one a week. This one was free because of MyBookie. Go to MyBookie, use the code armchair. You get a 50% sign-up bonus. If you sign up today at MyBookie.ag till the end of September and you deposit at least $50, send us your confirmation to saintshappyhour@gmail.com, and Armchair will send you a check for $20. So do it. Go to MyBookie. They're the best online app. You want to gamble, you're going to gamble. Do it at a safe online place. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Terms and conditions apply. Everybody, thanks for joining. This is the bonus cast. We will see you again Friday for our Cowboys Saints preview and our Friday Night Gambling Show. See you then.